the rest of the week, I'd like to, just the week is only 3 days, let's see how far we get. I'd like to talk about some of the contemporary idols. There are certain ideas that really function like idols. Everybody bows to them and prostrates themselves to them. Almost no one thinks about them. It's forbidden to criticize them in public. And that leads to very poor understanding and very irresponsible use of those ideas. And today I want to start with the idea of democracy. I'm going to go slowly and first of all see what democracy means and exactly why it's supposed to be the very best way of running a society and how we really do run our societies, whether they really are democratic or not democratic, what kinds of limitations we think it's appropriate to put on democracy. In other words, I'm proposing that we think about it. This is a radical idea. If I was trained as a philosopher, so sometimes I just can't help it. Suggesting that we think about things. So let's start. What is democracy? What does it mean? What's the idea?
I'm asking. It's supposed to mean in the ideal sense that the people who are involved in society have a voice in its direction and a voice in its values, we hope.
A voice.
A representative voice.
A representative voice. Does that mean there could be other voices also?
Sure.
Like a king, for example?
Sure.
None.
Yes.
A king in a democracy?
A king has a voice, but he's
not for his own group.
He's not the king.
Does he count as one?
Sure.
Does everyone else count as one?
Yeah.
Okay, then, you know, it's king with a little K, right? Peter King, you know. Okay. George King, Philip King. I think you're most of the way there. Democracy is supposed to mean that the power, all of the power is with the people. Crassi means power, and demo means people. Power to the people, they said, although they meant communism, which was something else entirely. Okay, but democracy means, what's it opposed to? Aristocracy, which was power to a small elite, right? Meritocracy, which was invented to mean power to those who are more talented and more intelligent, right? Yeah. Democracy, theocracy, which means power to God. Democracy means all power to the people who compose the society over which the power is going to be exercised. That's why in democracies, things are done by elections. And the election is the only way of doing things, supposedly, because the power comes from the people, so the people have to make the decision. No one can impose it upon them, force it upon them. Only they can make the decision for themselves. Now, let's just take some obvious ideas and start to work around. We'll sum this up maybe tomorrow, but let's just get some ideas to sort of lay out the land. Okay, so democracy means that it's the power of the people. How do you tell what the people want? Do an election. Let's imagine we have the pure case, what's called pure democracy. There's a question that has to be settled. Everybody votes on that question. That's the way it was in Athens. In Athens, they had a big theater, and the people got together from time to time, and the questions were raised, and everybody voted. Everybody, well, not the slaves, of course, and other sorts of lower classes, but the citizens all voted. So suppose we all vote. Now, let's imagine a case, a society votes a 80% in favor and 20% against. It's a very lopsided majority. And the proposition... Yeah? Yes, Brian? Right? The society votes 80% in favor and 20% against the proposition. And the proposition is to kill out that 20%. That's why the 20% voted against. Because the proposition was to kill them out. Right? Ah, but 80% voted in favor. 80%. That's a gigantic majority. New democracy means all power to the people. And you vote to tell what the people want. And this is 80% want to kill out the other 20%. This is not such an outrageously ridiculous example, is it? Hitler came to power democratically in Germany. Mm-hmm. He was voted in a democratic election.
But that was different, you can say.
Oh, yes, sure, you can say. But I want to know what ought to happen here. Democracy says the power belongs to the people. The people voted. Elections or votes are won by a majority. Whatever the majority says, democratically, that's what you're supposed to do. Even though the minority doesn't like it, you go with the majority. And here, 80% want to kill out the other 20%. So, what does democracy say here? What ought we to say? What should be done? Should we say, well, that's what democratically the society wants to do, so it's okay. It's all right just to murder out the other 20%. I mean, is murder murder when it's done democratically? Yeah.
Yeah, you're assuming that democracy always means the correct or right thing to do, but that's not what it means.
I'm not assuming anything. And all I've said so far is that democracy means the power is with the people. That's all I said. I didn't say whether the society is correct. That's what I'm questioning at this very moment. The example is designed to question what happens.
But democracy doesn't stand alone. It works within another framework
okay.
of morality.
Good.
And that's what I'm societal laws that
exist. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I want to get to. That's what I'm going to get to. Because you're probably a little older than the average student here. I assume that you've been to some of this stuff before, and you're sort of a little further along.
Nothing like this, really.
But these guys, I have to bring these guys along, right? I hope you'll agree, even though it's an 80% majority, it's wrong to murder the 20%. And if you agree to that, then you'll be in the same ballpark as this gentleman, that although democracy is a value, it is a value, there's something right about democracy, something important and appropriate about democracy, still, there are other values as well, and if democracy runs against some other very important value, then we may say, to put it in the vernacular, democracy be damned. This is not right, even if the democracy wants to do it, even if the vast majority want to do it. It is possible for the vast majority of people to want to do something evil, like the Germans and their friends, the Poles and the Russians and the others. Yeah.
But we're not really saying that 80% wants to wipe out the 20%. It's just that their opinion will be followed as opposed to the 20%. We're not saying that the ideal of the American democracy was that the minority remains a minority until the next election, right? We're not saying that they
were... Well, that's because they never considered the proposal that we should wipe out the 20%. But you'll remember that they elected representatives in the United States... government did engineer the genocide of the Native American Indians.
They weren't on the voting side.
Okay, but it's so that's just because they happened to be outside. But in the case of Germany, where the Jews at the beginning certainly had to vote like everybody else, and that's the way it evolved. But I don't care about real historical cases. I'm trying to figure out what our values are. I hope everybody agrees with me that if the 80% vote to murder the 20%, it's still wrong. If it's wrong, then what you are saying is, sometimes democracy is not the right thing to do. The democratically decided upon course of action is wrong. Democracy doesn't give you a ticket to do whatever is wanted just because the majority says yes. Okay? So as I said, this leads us to say that although democracy is a value, it's not the only value. And it's possible for a democracy to decide to do something that's morally wrong. In that case, you ought to be resisted. One ought to fight against it. One ought to protest it, even though it has been democratically decided. Yes?
I mean, and if we're going to move something to build our faces, there's 20% of people in prison for murder or something. And they still give the vote because it's a democratic society.
Maybe so, but I don't see how's it relevant to what I'm saying.
What makes it automatically wrong?
I didn't say it was automatically wrong. All I said was that there can be cases when the majority votes for X and X is still wrong, even though the majority voted for it. I didn't say it's always going to be wrong, but there can be cases. And in such cases, if we say the majority voted for X and we're still against X, then what we're saying is the majority is not always right. Okay. So democracy, as I said, is a value, but maybe it's not the top, the most important value. Okay? He's actually working for the CIA. A call about a bomb someplace, or you know, they found Bin Laden, and he wanted to go to sort of work him over or something. He said, tell me, or tell. But the rest of you don't work for the CIA. You can turn your phones off. Okay, now that's a very simple case. Let me ask you now something that's a little more subtle. Here you're gonna have to think of it. Democracy started out in Athens, as I told you, when there was a question that had to be decided. Everybody got together and they voted, question by question. War, peace, taxes, education, public works, everything was voted on by all the citizens. We don't do it that way today. We have what's called a representative democracy. We vote for representatives, and they make the decisions. Now, I want to know why we do that. Why do we do that? Why don't we do it the old way? Like they did in Athens. Okay. 100 years ago, it just would be too difficult. What, should everybody send in a letter and count up all the letters every time there's a question? It's just gigantically inefficient. But today, there are pattern recognition programs. You can have everybody assign an identity for his thumbprint, and you can have everybody put his thumb on his palm or his computer, and it'll recognize the thumbprint, and then you can vote. And you can have a gigantic computer tallying the results. There wouldn't be any difficulty today in having what is called a direct democracy or a pure democracy. We don't have it. We have representative democracies. I'm asking why. Is the only reason we don't have a direct democracy, we use representatives instead, it's just efficiency. Nobody's gotten around to working out the computer stuff. Nobody's made the appropriations. But really, we have weakened, we've compromised democracy by doing it representative style, or is there some other reason? Let me make this vivid for you. We just had the midterm elections in the United States. Now, let's imagine that a certain issue arises, and there's a gigantic public debate, and 92% of all Americans feel that X is right. What legal standing does that have in the United States? Zero. It means nothing. In between elections, the government of the United States runs everything absolutely. There's no room for a referendum. The citizens cannot decide that they're going to do a referendum and get everybody to sign petitions. It makes absolutely no difference. Yes, war with Iraq. No war with Iraq. High taxes, lower taxes. In between elections, the citizens are powerless. Totally powerless. Only if it's a question of a crime, the person's accused of committing a crime. But policy decisions, the public has no effect whatsoever. Especially in America, unlike parliamentary democracies, you can bring down the government. If you threaten and maneuver in certain ways, you can't even bring down the government in the United States. You have to wait until the next election.
person does have the power to change policy. If you're wealthy enough, you can afford it, and you have enough power, enough clout, you can sway votes in favor or not in favor of a certain decision coming up.
You're right, and you can do it with a gun also. I mean, you can tell the guy, do this or I'll murder your family. But I'm talking about...
Well, let's be practical. That doesn't happen, but it does.
But I'm raising a different question. I'm talking about authority. Legally, the fact that 92% of Americans want X has no effect whatsoever. If he's done illegally, if the government doesn't want it, and they stand against 92%, the government rules according to American law. The government rules, and the 92% have no standing whatsoever. If they convince the government to change its mind, whatever way, then that's another matter. But legally, the 92% have no standing whatsoever. Now, I'm asking you, doesn't this look like a gigantic compromise with the idea of democracy? Here, the government can force the country to go into a certain decision against the will of the vast majority. Wasn't democracy the idea that everything should be done by the majority? So it looks like we're losing a great deal of the idea of democracy by having a representative government. Is there any reason to have a representative government rather than everybody voting on every issue? Yeah.
Two things. One, you just said it won't last very long. Whatever opinion put into effect, it won't last until the next election. And then on the other case, people believe that representatives know better, and then the alternative one is they're lazy. So.
Okay. I don't think the last thing is really important. A war can take 3 months, and that's, and the election is a year and a half away, and a lot can happen in 3 months with a war. But let's consider his second remark, that the representatives know better. Representatives know better. Maybe that's a reason. The reason we have representatives, rather than everybody voting on every issue, is not just that nobody's gotten around to programming the thumbprints yet. But maybe we want representatives to make the decisions. We don't want to make the direct decisions, because we know that nowadays decisions are very complicated. Usually it's not so much that the representatives know better, but they hire people who know better. They hire a lot of experts, and they organize the information and their opinions, and they pull it together. But the idea that he's suggesting, I think it's an important idea, is that if you have representatives, you get better decisions. The representatives will get better decisions. And the thing we have to ponder is, are we then sacrificing democracy for better decisions? And if so, what does that say about democracy? What does it say about the importance of democracy? What does it say about the value of democracy? If we're going to sacrifice power to the people who are governed should exercise power, which theoretically means they should do the deciding. No. All you can do is elect representatives. When the representatives are in office, you're out. We don't listen to you anymore. Only the representatives vote. Now, if we're doing it for the sake of better decisions, as he says, and I think this is a large part of it, then think what we're doing. We're giving up democracy. We're giving up democratic control. We're giving up the power that the people are supposed to have to a tiny 0.001% of the population. And they're running it, absolutely. They have all the power, all the authority. No one can oppose them, according to the way the legal system works. No one can oppose them. Why? Because we'll get better decisions. Better, I suppose, means more efficient decisions. Decisions with better long-term consequences. Something like more useful decisions, which will make more money, you know, or create better quality of life, things like that, which means we're giving up democracy for an improvement in quality of life. That will be something worth registering, if that's what's really going on. Maybe you don't agree, but that's part of what's come out of the suggestion. I think it's very important to think about. Yeah?
Isn't that why we created this democracy for the people? It's for better quality of life or whatever.
Good. All right, let's go to that now. Let's go to that now, and then we'll come back to this, and we'll work back and forth. Is that the reason for democracy? Is that the reason why we started off with democracy? Power to the people. Why should the people have power? What's the whole idea of giving the power to the people? Why is democracy somehow thought of to be better than monarchy, or despotism, or aristocracy, or who knows what? Class rule? Well, what's so great about democracy? See, this is it. They don't teach you the ABCs. They really don't teach you the ABCs. The idea, originally, is a root moral idea. No one has the right to tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? Where do you get off telling me what to do? Because you have bigger muscles. First of all, I have bigger muscles. But aside from that, what moral right do you have to tell me what to do? How can you push me around? If you're an elephant pushing on other elephants, that's one thing. But we're human beings. We know better than that. So the root idea is no one has the right to tell anybody else what to do. On the other hand, if we don't cooperate and work together, we're all going to have very nasty, bitter, short lives, as Hobbes said. Some things require us to work together. Working together means not everybody can do what he wants. So, when we vote, what we're saying is this. We're doing something bad. When we vote, we're doing something bad. Because we're going to force the minority to do what the majority says. Forcing anybody to do anything is not really good. But you have to cooperate in order to survive. So let's do the least bad. Let's push around the fewest people. Gotta push around somebody. It's nasty to push around anybody. It's nasty to force anybody to do something. Do as little of this nasty thing as you can. So you take an election, and the majority gets its will. It means only the minority gets pushed around. So you're trying to minimize this evil. It's evil to push anybody around. It's evil to make anybody do anything against his will. But we have to survive. We have to cooperate. It means we have to have one policy that everybody participates in. So you vote and you push around the fewest number of people. This means there's a moral idea in democracy. How else will you do it? Push around the majority? That's much worse. If you have a king, he can push everybody around. That's far, far worse. In a democracy, you're always pushing around the minority. It's not nice to push around anybody. You push around as few as possible. In any other kind of government, you can push around the majority. That's much, much worse. So democracy becomes morally superior. It's morally superior because you force less people to act against their will. This is a moral requirement of democracy. When people say that democracy is the best form of government, they are not saying that it has the most efficient economy. That's not a matter of politics so much as a matter of economics, whether you have an open economy, a capitalist economy, or whether you're back in Never Never Land with the socialists. But the power of democracy as an idea is, as someone said when I asked it first, freedom. Freedom is right. Freedom means don't push me around. Don't tell me what to do. In order to cooperate, some people are going to have to be pushed around, so do it as little as possible. Now, if that's a basis of democracy. If that's a basis of democracy, it's a moral idea. And we take his point that we're giving it up. We're giving it up for the sake of better decisions. That's why we have representatives. And better means more efficient decisions. Decisions that will pay. Decisions that will make us a better profit. Give us a better quality of life. Then we're giving up this moral idea for the sake of money, better quality of life, something like that. I think we have these gigantic conclusions. It means that this moral idea that is what drives democracy is something we're all prepared to give up because we don't want to lose too much money on it, that's all. You know, democracy, direct democracy, would be very inefficient and very short-sighted, very unintelligent. What we really have is an aristocracy with democratic control. That's what we really have. The people running your lives are a bunch of aristocrats. They're all millionaires, by the way. Almost all nationally elected people are millionaires. But they have to have a lot of money to run a campaign. They definitely are the economic elite. They're the educational elite, almost all of them. You don't remember, but I remember Richard Nixon, who put up somebody to be a Supreme Court justice, and they went through his record, and it really was pretty mediocre. So, and he wasn't confirmed by the Senate in the end. So they said to Nixon, how could you have suggested this person for the Supreme Court who was such a mediocre record? And Nixon said, look, most Americans are mediocre, aren't they? Shouldn't they be represented also?
Yeah.
That's what he said! I'm not joking! The guy was really, you know, from Williamson. So, if we are prepared to have a representative democracy, where the representatives rule the country with iron, there's no way to oppose them legally. Then we're giving up. We're allowing the vast majority to be pushed around for the sake of better decisions. That should give us pause as to how important democracy is. How important democracy really is. Now, I want to expand a little bit on what he said also. He made another remark there that I think was very important. Let's suppose something will help the country a lot, but it's going to require 18 months of grief. For 18 months, things are going to be very tough. Maybe much higher taxes, or restrictions on your freedoms, war, something like that. But after 18 months, then you'll have the payoff, and the payoff will be terrific. The question is whether the public can look 2 years ahead, cares enough now about 2 years ahead to make the right decision. You have a president. The president is elected every 4 years. He's got time. He's got time. He can ram through. He has his party behind him, like Bush has now. He's got both houses of Congress. He can ram it through, and people will yell and scream, and the New York Times will have editorial after editorial with their blather about how bad it is. I never reveal my political opinions, never. But 20 months from now, when the results start pouring in, people will realize that it was a terrific idea, and then when he comes up for re-election, he'll be in a good position. He has 4 years to make it work. That gives the possibility of using an idea which has long-term consequences and which won't show in the short term. Whereas, if you're going to ask people to vote and they're screaming in pain after 6 months, many will lose their nerve and they'll say, we can't take it anymore. And they'll give up and they'll have nothing but a loss to show for their efforts. So here's a way of making, he said, better decisions. Here's a way of enabling you to make very difficult decisions for the sake of a long-term gain, which in a direct democracy you might not be able to have. But again, you're talking about efficiency, you're talking about profit, you're talking about improved quality of life. And for the sake of that, you give up the democratic ideal that as few people as possible should be pushed around. Are you with me? You see what I'm doing? I'm demoting democracy. I'm demoting it. I'm pointing out that it isn't so central as you think. It isn't so important as you think. Now, another idea. When I taught at Hopkins, Johns Hopkins does not have a law school. So you have an undergraduate who wants to go to law school. He's got to get a faculty recommendation. He can't go to the law school and get a professor to write him a recommendation. So they used to go to professors in other fields. I was in philosophy, in particular in logic. So a lot of them came to me to get my recommendation. I used to ask them two questions. which I think every lawyer should be prepared to handle intelligently. One is, would you defend the person in court who you knew personally to be guilty? And if so, why? I'm not going to go into that now. Lucy Korsky, that's not relevant to our issue at the moment. And the other is this. There's a saying in American law, it's just a saying, but it expresses an attitude. Better 100 criminals should go free rather than one innocent person should go to jail. Now, I would ask the student, why is that? Those 100 criminals who go free, they're going to make trouble. People are going to get hurt. People are going to suffer. Okay, this one innocent person who goes to jail is also going to get hurt. But I could predict that 100 criminals will do a lot more trouble and cause a lot more pain than one person going to jail. What is this? Some kind of purity issue? The government has to have really wide hands. The government can never make a mistake. What about all the victims who come running to the government and say, you're not protecting us? The mafia has a free hand. What's at stake here is rules of conviction. How much evidence do I have to convict somebody and put them behind bars? I can either be very tough about evidence or very loose about evidence. If I'm very tough about evidence, it's very hard to convict. It's very hard to convict. Criminals are going to go free. But if it's very hard to convict, it's likely that innocent people will not be convicted by mistake. Loosen up the rules, much easier to convict, get a lot more criminals behind bars, and from time to time, you'll get innocent people behind bars. Why is it so obvious that the right thing to do is to be tough, strict, make it very difficult to put people behind bars, and therefore allow the criminals essentially a free hand? What's the benefit in it? If the poor student couldn't answer that question, then I recommended that he didn't ask me for a recommendation because I wouldn't give him a good one. No, so what am I going to say about this? Why would a person, I mean, maybe you don't agree with the policy. If you don't agree with the policy, I have nothing to say. But imagine, we're trying to think up with your imagination. What reason could someone have to say, I want very strict rules, I want it very hard to convict people. True, a lot of criminals will go free, but I don't want innocent people in jail. Why not? Why not put a few innocent people in jail, put a lot of criminals in jail, and protect the public from what those criminals will do? So that's actually, this attitude of the government has to have really wide hands. God forbid the government should do anything wrong. All right, let me put it the other way. And by not protecting the victims of those criminals, isn't the system doing something wrong? Isn't its job to protect people? In particular, to protect people from crime? Isn't that what a police force is for? Isn't that what a public prosecutor is for? To protect people from crime as best they can. So, by making it hard to convict, they're not protecting those people.
It's like the same thing out here with, you know, the terrorists running around and being allowed to do whatever they want. They don't want to make a mistake by, you know, like going up and rounding up each and every one of these people because of the danger to our lives that they're doing this.
Transfer? Anybody for transfer?
They're afraid.
Okay. But you're right. But let's try to use our imagination here because there is an answer to this question. There's an answer to this question, and the answer will reveal another basis for democracy. Although it's pretty cynical, but it's true, I think. Let's see. Any student have an idea? Any other student have
an idea? Yeah. I mean, it's not morally correct for the government to put innocent people in jail, so they have to make sure that their hands are totally clean with.
Wouldn't you suspect it had something to do with the consequences? To put morally people innocent people in jail just because you don't like them is one thing. But if that's the way you protect the majority of society from crime, and the crime is going to hurt, couldn't you say, I know this is not perfectly efficient, we do make mistakes, but the country is better off, people are better off this way.
That gives a foothold for people to challenge the authority and the decision-making power of the people in government.
Well, couldn't you imagine people will understand this argument? Yes, the government will make mistakes. The government makes mistakes even now. It's just, they're doing the best they can. And if they don't make these mistakes, then you're going to be hurt by those other people, which is far worse.
Could it be that, that people want to innocent person behind, and the hunters that go out are also innocent because they're convicting the innocent people, so those other ones to be a small ratio of the innocent people and then the hunters that come out?
You're right. I'm assuming the ratio is lopsided. You're right. One could question that, but let's assume it. I think the answer I'm looking for, well, look, even if you assume my ratio is right, one innocent person versus 100 criminals, and 100 criminals is going to do a lot more damage. Surprise at you. Surprise at you. If I tell you the answer, you're going to kick yourself and say, oh, of course that's obvious. Yeah?
Well, what's like a
trouble in the first place, and then if he's in that situation already, then he's obviously done something sort of wrong. And meaning, let's say I go to America, right? I'm in America, and I go take something out of 7-Eleven, right? I just steal a candy bar, right? And or it looks as if I did, and they accuse me that I did, but obviously I was being suspicious, right? I shouldn't have even been suspicious in the first place. So they figure that, okay, they'll put me in jail for it, you know, but they didn't realize that I didn't do it, but I shouldn't have even been, like, in that situation in the first place.
Right. I'll see how it's answering my question.
Take
it as an assumption now. I mean, we know there are a lot of criminals running around. We know they have a lot of power. They're running drugs. They're blackmailing people. They murder people from time to time. And they got a contract with somebody. Somebody told me it costs about $25,000. You can get rid of him, no problem. I mean, we know that society is riddled with crime, and it is riddled with crime largely because it's very difficult to prosecute people. It's very difficult to prosecute people.
Yeah.
What's to stop them if they don't like if you, the guy, one of these high-end supermarket, and you look at him and wants to stop him from throwing you to prison?
Right. Who says the government is going to use its power rightly? What we're dealing here with is government power. When you make it hard to convict, it's hard for the government to put somebody behind bars. They can't do it so easily. A great deal of democratic politics, the democratic structure of a government, is designed to weaken the government. America was born in revolt against those nasty British, right? And one of the things they didn't like was that the British government was too powerful and too dictatorial. So they created a weak government. Here, I'll show you. Number one, you can't go to jail unless you're convicted by a jury. Who sits on the jury? A jury of your
peers.
The police force can't put you in jail. And the Senate can't put you in jail, and the legislature can't, the governor can't put you in jail. It has to be other citizens. Okay, I know it doesn't really work and everything else. My father, Oldersola, was in insurance. He was never accepted for the jury. He knows too much. And he might have opinions about matters because he knows so much. Right. Okay, but anyway, that's the theory. The theory is the government can't put you in jail. They're a government, but they cannot put you in jail. Only your peers can put you in jail. So as he says, if you look cross-eyed at the governor, he can't throw you in dungeon because he doesn't like you. It weakens the power of the government. why do you have different branches? Why is it that there are three branches of government? Because it makes government very complicated. Very difficult. We have that crisis in America where one branch challenged another branch and people thought the government was going to come tumbling down. When Nixon refused to turn over his tapes to the Supreme Court because he said, I'm a separate branch of government. And one branch can't tell the other branch what to do. There was a crisis. This last election, I don't know if you caught it, but in Bush's election, the governor of Florida said that if the Supreme Court requires them to have a recount, they're not going to do it. Because the Supreme Court has no right to tell a state. The electoral system means that each state casts its vote. And the central government has no right to tell a state how to vote and how to count its votes. You could have had a constitutional crisis if the Supreme Court hadn't come around to that. Maybe that's one of the reasons they came around. So it makes the government complicated. One part works against another part, and they have independent interests. Democracy is designed to produce a weak government. That's one of the things it's designed to do, to weaken the government so as to protect against dictatorship. Here's the answer to the question that I asked. You're right in the short run. You're right in the short run. The 100 criminals are going to do a lot of damage. The 100 criminals are going to do a lot of damage just to protect that one innocent person. But if you loosen things up and get the 100 criminals in jail, you're risking the whole government becoming a dictatorship or moving in that direction and exercising its power in an arbitrary and unfair way, in an unjust way. Sorry?
But it's not the government putting them in jail.
Who else is going to put them in jail? No, that's when we do it. That's our way of protecting against the government doing it. But if you loosen up the standards of proof, if you make it easier to convict, right? So then more people will go to jail. Then the people who are in charge of it are going to be able to manipulate it.
But it's the jury deciding. It's the jury with easier decisions putting people in jail, not the government easier decisions.
Well, there are cases where the judge can overrule the jury. If the jury is not following the law in the case, then the judge can overrule it. In other words, if the jury says, we agree that ABC happened, but we can declare it innocent anyhow, then the judge can say, I'm sorry, if he did ABC, he's guilty. He can't say he's innocent if he did ABC. Right? So there are ways but you can rescind the jury procedure also. I'm talking about making it easy to put people in jail. That's the question, right? Suppose you say, the juries are so sympathetic to people that they never put them in jail. So we'll do away with juries. And you'll get more criminals in jail if you do away with juries. Suppose that's true. But then if you do away with juries, you're risking giving so much power to the government that it will be used unjustly, and that'll be worse. So the two alternatives now are this. The two alternatives are, let the 100 criminals go free, and they will do grief to people. Or put the 100 criminals in jail, which really does make life more pleasant, put the 100 criminals in jail, but risk giving so much power to the government that they'll victimize 10,000 people. And then you'll be much worse off. Criminals have a disadvantage, and that is that they are largely disorganized. There are lots and lots of different groups, and they fight against each other. Can you imagine a criminal government? You don't have to imagine it. That was communist Russia, right? Communist Russia, communist China, New Jersey, right? Yeah, wherever you find Democrats. I mean, what happened to the guy they threw out at the end because he was too crooked?
Torricelli.
Torricelli, yeah.
But your answer is surprising to me because, I mean, it sounds liberal. You said cynical before. You said, well, we'll find it cynical. It just sounds surprising to me that that's the better of the two answers. You're saying for society at large, that's a better end game result.
Because you're risking a much worse danger. The danger of corrupt government is much worse than the danger of the 100 criminals. That's the point.
But Rabbi, not given the current state of affairs, given if we try to go closer towards the ideal and say that the representatives that we elect and the judges that we elect are going to be more knowledgeable and more moral and Okay. I stepped off the deep end.
We're knowledgeable, yes. I'm immoral. I don't think there's any reason to suspect that.
I stepped off the deep end. Yeah.
I'm accepting that.
Okay, but moving closer towards the ideal that the representatives that we elect would be in a better position to make decisions like that. That's what they would agree to also. They would also agree with better representatives. They would also agree to put away, I forget which one it was now, to put away 100 criminals.
The position I'm giving a reason for says, let the 100 criminals go free. Let the 100 criminals go free, not just to protect against putting an innocent person in jail. That's not the profit here. Protecting against one innocent person going to jail. Profit is against giving the government so much power that they can victimize 10,000 people. Corrupt government is everywhere, all the time. It's not something which is a theoretical possibility. Okay, you had to, in Chicago, you know, it was famous that you should vote early and often, and Mayor Daley used to stuff the ballot boxes. In this country, the Labor government stuffed the ballot boxes for 25 years. They won every election. They went around threatening people, we'll take away your job if you don't vote for us. They had an iron grip on it. They called it democracy, but it's okay as long as they won the elections. I was here when Menachem Begin was elected, and the people on the left, some of them said, it's not my government. I don't owe it any allegiance because it's not my party in power. It's a different attitude. The ballot box is just to get me there. If it gets me there, it's good. If it doesn't, it's not relevant. So, if this is the argument that you want a democracy to protect against tyranny, then you're prepared to put up with inefficiency. You're prepared to put up with short-sighted decisions. And this may be another reason for democracy. There's the moral reason of don't push me around, push around as few people as possible. And there's another moral reason that you're risking a government which is which can become blatantly corrupt and then can victimize large portions of the population. As far as I know, these are the two fundamental arguments for democracy. I'm going to take this up again tomorrow. Summarize it and go on further on, but I'm giving you time to think about it, to talk about it, to discuss it, to ask people, send quick emails home to your parents and say, gosh, they want to know what democracy is for in the yeshiva. Could you imagine that? And try to get some answers. See if you can come up with something else, and then we'll try to sum up. What I want to come out with in the end is a feeling for how important really is democracy. How important is it? What's it for? So what would I be willing to give it up or modify it, reduce it? I want to know where it stands in our picture of what's important in the world. That's what I'm working on. Okay?
Right.